Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm your host, Belinda Ellsworth, and I'm so excited about our guest today. I have Valerie Burton with me, and she is a best-selling author and founder of the Coaching and Positive Psychology Institute. Valerie has served clients in over 40 states and 10 countries and written 13 books on personal development, including Successful Women Think Differently, What's Really Holding You Back, and her latest, Let Go of the Guilt. She is a frequent guest expert for The Today Show, CNN, Dr. Oz, Oprah Magazine, NPR, Essence, and many others. She has spoken for hundreds of organizations, including GE, McDonald's Corporation, Verizon, Coca-Cola, and the United States military. Ms. Burton has a master's degree in applied positive psychology from the University of Pennsylvania, a master's degree in journalism from Florida A&M University, and a BA from Florida State University. Join over 50,000 subscribers to her inspiring weekly e-newsletter at ValerieBurton.com. It is my awesome pleasure to welcome Valerie to our show today.
It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yes, absolutely. So, Valerie, I've known you for a couple of years. Our paths have crossed in different speaking arenas. Mm-hmm. And I know that you certainly have really pivoted during this whole COVID thing as I follow you on LinkedIn. But let's let our guests get to know you a little bit better by filling in some of the gaps from your bio and telling us a little bit more about your journey.
Well, I've been coaching and speaking and writing around inspiring others to live more fulfilling lives for 20 years. I can't believe it's been that long. and so, you know, the core of my mission is writing. And a lot of the speaking opportunities have come from the writing, but really helping people to navigate challenges and change in a way that helps them to grow through their experiences and not just go through them, so that they can live more fulfilling lives.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about your business and how it has shaped your lifestyle.
So the Coaching and Positive Psychology Institute, or as we call it, the CAP Institute, trains personal and executive coaches. And we also do resilience training for organizations. And we've been training coaches now for over a decade. I love the process of helping others learn how to help people transform their lives. And coaching really is a process. And then being able to undergird that with positive psychology, which is the study of what happens when things go right with us and what really enables us to thrive in life and work. And so for me, when you ask about lifestyle, I would probably just say that, and when I first had the vision of being able to become an author, I was about 20. I was in grad school in journalism. I remember thinking to myself, you know, I really would love to have a successful career and also have a family. And I wanted to have flexibility in my schedule to do that. So I was really young when I first had this vision. I didn't even know at that point, like, what did I want to write? What kinds of books? But I say that because I think a lot of us have had inklings about our vision, about the things that we really want to do. And sometimes we don't pay those inklings enough attention. I think we can kind of just brush them off. But now, so many years later, seeing that vision come to fruition, and not without a whole lot of bumps, and not without it taking a lot longer than I thought it would. I'm grateful for how I'm able to live and the kind of work I'm able to do at this point.
That's great. I just did a whole article on vision because I'm super big on it. But when you had that vision back when you were in your 20s, so probably early 20s, I'm guessing, then what steps did you take to keep that vision alive?
I think I just knew that eventually I was not going to, I knew eventually I would be making a leap out of corporate America. So I was learning as much as I could. And I started a PR firm, was the first business I started the month I turned 24. And I did that for a few years, really not knowing my purpose yet. I was communication, I think, is my strength. And so public relations and marketing made sense. Mm-hmm. But I didn't feel like that was the purpose. I think your vision has to be rooted in your purpose. Mm-hmm. So when I discovered it was around inspiring others, that I would do it through writing and speaking, that was for me my aha moment about 4 years later when I started writing my first book. Even in that, I self-published, but I had this vision that a big publisher would pick it up. So I kept that vision very alive, always wanting to learn how to do that next thing, whatever that next step would be that would lead me to it.
That's awesome. And I think that two things that you've talked about is, I do think that people get that little sort of tap on the shoulder, or have this vision, and maybe it's a dream. Some people think of it more as a dream that they have, and they just kind of let that go by the wayside, thinking it's not possible, or they don't see a way to that. And so I love that you said it wasn't overnight. I mean, and you're 4 mm-hmm. years later. And I think that that's the important thing about visions, is kind of hanging on to them. And it's also continuing to do work that moves you toward that, even if it isn't exactly what that vision is. Mm-hmm. And people get really confused about that, I think.
Yeah, I think we often think our vision will not take as long as it does. I think that's the big thing. It's that we're like, oh yeah, I got this plan. I remember after I sold my PR business and I started doing, started speaking, and I had self-published the first book, and I'd actually gotten a book deal for it with Random House. And I took that leap out of PR, and I was like, okay, so in 6 months, I'm going to be booked solid with speaking engagements. And this first book release, it's just going to go great. what I thought could happen in 6 months, probably to get to the point where I wanted to be, was about 7 years. So it took a lot of just persevering. I think if you keep the vision in front of you, rather than looking down at the obstacles that are in the immediate vicinity, but looking up at that vision over and over is so important in not getting discouraged and just continuing to move forward, even if it feels like the steps are baby steps. Just keep making them, because eventually you get to where you're trying to go.
Absolutely. So, Valerie, what have you identified as kind of a couple of your superpowers, like your greatest skill sets that you think have really helped you along this journey?
Well, I just mentioned communication. I do think, I mean, even as a kid, I talked a lot. My mother would play a game to see how long I could go without talking. I think 2 minutes was my record. In all aspects, career-wise, being able to communicate, being able to articulate ideas, written as well as verbal, and make a connection with people, I think has helped tremendously. And then I think optimism. And I think I have realistic optimism. Like, I see problems, but I still believe in the possibility to work around them. So when I see challenges and problems, I think, okay, how have people overcome those? That's who I study. I remember when I wanted my first book deal. Well, shoot, I remember when I was wanting to actually write, get it published myself. It was like, who's done this? I looked for who had done it. But then when I was wanting an agent and wanting a book deal, and people would say, well, 95% of books get turned down, and they get turned down by agents, and the same percentage, even if they get an agent, get turned down by publishers. And I was like, okay, so 5% aren't getting turned down. What are they doing? So I think my sense of hope and optimism has helped me a lot, especially when it's not overused. I think any one of our strengths can be overused, but just being able to see possibility.
That is great. And I think that you made this comment in the first question, and then I didn't really sort of call it out, but it's like so important to just remain a student and keep learning. Where do you want to go? Who's gone that path before you, and in studying exactly what are the best steps to get there? It's a constant learning journey as well.
Absolutely. There's always more to learn. And I've always loved learning, especially when it's an area that I enjoy and I'm interested in. But I think there's always an opportunity for growth. I think even in the midst of this pandemic and all that we're going through, that has to be a question. What is this teaching me? What could it teach me? What opportunity is there in the challenge that I'm dealing with right now? Those kinds of questions coach you to a different attitude that can really pull you forward.
Absolutely. I know this has been a crazy time during this pandemic, hasn't it?
It's been, I mean, there's so much uncertainty and so much having to pivot and do things differently and to be resilient in the middle of that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So let's talk about one of your most outstanding accomplishments or something that's super meaningful for you.
Oh, I would say my marriage. That's my biggest accomplishment I'm proud of. You know, after going through divorce and wanting family and maintaining the hope that vision was still possible, and then seeing that vision realized has brought immense fulfillment and joy to me, getting to raise our three kids, my two bonus daughters, and our son has been a dream come true for me. That didn't happen until I was 40. I think because it took so much perseverance in maintaining hope, when it'd be easier to give up, you know, hope can create a lot of fear, because whether what you're hoping for has to do with a business or a relationship or health or something financial, hoping for something means risking disappointment. And I think for a lot of people, that disappointment can feel too big. And I know at times for me, even it did. But when you have a clear vision of what you want for your life, that vision requires hope, and it requires continuing to take steps in the right direction, even when you're afraid that maybe the vision won't come about.
Right. So you talk here about then your greatest obstacle or challenge is going through your divorce. So let's talk about then, because I know I went through something very, very similar and felt very much the same way. I mean, like, I just really wanted, and then I had my daughter Olivia when I was 43, so I can totally relate to the story that you are telling right now. So tell me, like, how you worked through that to keep that vision. I loved all the things you said about, you know, hope can be fear because you're risking disappointment. Like, is it really going to happen? So what are some of the things that you did to keep that vision sort of alive? Because I know there are women that are probably in that exact same position that are feeling that way as well.
Yeah. I had a vision board. I shared my vision with people close to me. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't something I kept quiet. It wasn't like I shared it with people I didn't know or everybody, but people who I knew had my back, were praying for me, were supportive of me. That felt really good. But the other thing I did, Belinda, is I imagined the opposite, which can sound counterintuitive. and certainly at first when I thought of the idea, it conjured up a lot of fear. I chose to imagine myself 10 years out not having achieved that vision, because that was my fear. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to know if I imagined myself, say, at 50 or 60, what I was wanting didn't happen, what then? How would I want to show up? What would I want my life to be or look like? And it wasn't like an exercise that I was like, oh, this is exciting. It was more of a resilience exercise. Like, well, if that ends up being, I'll survive that. In fact, I don't just want to survive it. I want to thrive if that is the path my life takes. I don't want to wallow in self-pity. I don't want to waste my life that way. That was the most powerful exercise I did because I feel like it freed me to pursue the vision with the knowledge that although I would be disappointed if it didn't happen, I could trust that I would be okay and that there might be a different vision that I would need to create and enjoy. Like, I was not going to hold my happiness hostage to my circumstances. Right. I could not make it dependent on if this doesn't happen, then I'm not going to be happy.
Right.
That was very freeing for me and actually gave me a lot of joy and peace that allowed me to not just focus on the vision or feel desperate about the vision.
Correct.
It was like, oh, yeah. And I think that joy is part of what attracted to my life exactly what I wanted.
That's awesome. That's a really, really great way to put it. I know sometimes when I'm sitting there and thinking about big decisions in life, I weigh out the pros, the cons, and what's the worst thing that can happen? Can I live with that? Yes, I can. So let's go for it. And I think that is freeing. I hadn't looked at it really that way, but it's free to do what you want to do in the moment in hopes that you're going to get where you want to go instead of being fearful that it's not ever going to happen.
Yes, I think it's freeing because that fear has so much energy. We know even from the research that negative is more powerful than positive. And so when we can alleviate some of that fear by imagining what we would do if that fear came to pass, it empowers us. It's like, okay, that fear doesn't feel so huge anymore. And that negative loses a lot of its power. I think that's part of what happens when we're like, okay, what is the worst case scenario? Okay, what if that happens? Mm-hmm. That's for me, that's always been a very empowering question.
Mm-hmm. Me too. Great. So what does working from your happy place mean to you? This is our signature question. It's so funny because I have so many people go, oh, this is so hard.
To me, it means knowing that I'm operating with a sense of purpose. It's not random. I'm not here by accident. Definitely working from a place of purpose. But I'm remembering every day what I get to do and what I get to look forward to, because it can be very easy when you work hard to get to a certain place to then take that for granted and just see the hard parts of it and start talking, I have to do this and I have to do that. And I try to keep myself reminded that, no, you get to do this. Mm-hmm. And this is what you dreamed of doing. Don't forget that. And so knowing that it's a place of purpose, but also just finding those things to be grateful for. And from a literal sense, working from a happy place is working from my newly finished basement. Walk out basement where I can look out the window and see the trees and every once in a while see one of our horses out in the pasture, because we bought a little horse farm. And every once in a while, if it's after school, seeing one of the kids go by, that feels really good.
That's awesome. So what advice would you give to others? I feel like I so want to delve into a few more of the things that we've talked about, but let's talk right now about what advice you would give to others wanting to sort of forge their own path or be an entrepreneur or work for themselves or go after a dream that has been, maybe we can break those in half and talk about what advice would you give to those that are wanting to be entrepreneurs, but then also let's talk about helping people sort of, you know, discover that dream within them that they maybe have let go to, just kind of gone by the wayside.
Well, the dream is there. You might have buried it. So some time alone, telling the truth to yourself about what you really want. Ask yourself, coach yourself with this question. Looking back 5 or 10 years from now, what will you wish you had done during this time? What is that step you would have wished you had taken? You know, what is the approach you would have wished you had taken to whatever challenge you're facing? I really believe that the benefit of hindsight is powerful. And so stepping into your future self, you know, out of whatever the current circumstances and fears and challenges are, and saying, oh yeah, if I was looking back, what would I tell myself with all the wisdom I would have? So I think that's a great question to ask. If you are entrepreneurial and you know that's the direction you want to go, get serious about it. Develop your plan. Put numbers to that plan. What will need to happen? At what point would you be ready to make that leap? You know, what would that look like? And so really sketching out and then having a solid action plan, I think, is really important. And then work on your courage. Most of us constantly need to work on our courage, because it takes courage to do something different. To step out of your comfort zone. And so the thing that tends to hold most people back is that sense of fear. Mm-hmm. And really saying, okay, what am I afraid of? Let go of the myth of fearlessness. People are not successful at whatever it is that's your dream because they're fearless. They're successful because they're courageous. Because even though they feel fear, they keep going and they let themselves be afraid while they do whatever they need to do. I think that is one of the biggest traits that's so important for us to develop.
And how does one go about developing that? That's a curious thing, to be more courageous. What are some things that people can do to develop that within themselves?
Start with the little things, like ask yourself, think about the relationships in your life right now. It might be coworkers, could be a spouse, kids, in-laws, friends, neighbors. What are you not saying that you really need to say? You know, what conversations are you not having? A very simple way to practice more courage is to speak up, have hard conversations, and it could be over little things. Identify what that is and just start small. We know from the research that small actions over time help us build confidence. It helps us to build self-efficacy. So think about what those small actions might be. Maybe it's not a conversation for you. Maybe it's a step. Maybe it's a phone call that needs to be made. You know what it is. That thing that usually makes you go, oh, I can't do that. I don't want to do that. Start with those things. Start noticing fear when it comes up and ask yourself, what would be the brave thing to do right now?
Very good. So what are some new and exciting things that you're working on right now that you think our listeners could benefit from?
Well, my latest book just came out, Let Go of the Guilt, Stop Beating Yourself Up and Take Back Your Joy, is the subtitle. For anybody who feels guilty, and this isn't just what I call authentic guilt, you know, when you've actually done something wrong,
right?
This is largely the false guilt. Like, you feel like you've done something wrong. You find yourself making decisions and taking actions out of that guilt. A lot of people struggle with that. I think even in this pandemic, it shows up even more, because if we don't let go of expectations, of what life is supposed to look like, we end up feeling guilty that we can't meet them. So that book is out. I'm super excited. Let Go of the Guilt. And then also, we have our coach training intensive, and our next one is, in November.
Okay.
And so anyone who's ever thought about personal or executive coaching or incorporating coaching into your management or leadership style might want to check that out at capinstitute.com.
Perfect. How important is it for people? Obviously, it's I know what your answer is going to be, but I think there's a lot of people that have never had any kind of coach whatsoever. They think that's for somebody that either, you know, is wanting to be an executive or is wanting to do something in a different way. But how important is coaching for an individual?
Oh, I think everyone can use a coach. I think that we all are constantly dealing with challenges and opportunities and having to navigate those things. So a coach helps you to be more intentional about how you live your life, how you design your plan of action, and then that accountability to be able to carry it out. And it's really such a supportive, beautiful partnership when you have a coach. If you think about our lives, most people are so busy and multitasking. When do you ever have someone that just listens to you and their only job is listening and helping you to come up with the right next step, the strategy, to step outside of kind of your immediate world and see things from a different perspective that moves you forward. So, to me, coaching is fun, but it's also just for anyone who wants to see their lives be more effective, more fulfilling, happier, and to get that extra boost of courage for the things that feel like a dream for you. That's what coaching does.
And how do people go about finding that right coach for them?
Well, you know, as we train coaches, we always recommend that coaches have some sort of introductory session. And sometimes some coaches do it at no charge. Some do it at a lower than their regular rate, just so that you get to experience coaching and figure out if that coach is the right fit. So I suggest, you know, identifying one through talking to people who may have a coach, but also obviously online and, you know, having a couple of conversations. And you'll know when you talk to that coach if it's a good fit.
Great. Well, this has been great, Valerie. And on the book, because I'd love everybody to go grab that, what are some of the best takeaways that they're going to get from that book?
Well, one, many of us have a guilt habit. You know, that we need to break. We just kind of fall back on it. One of the things I say in the book is that happiness is a risk and guilt is safe. And so sometimes we, even though we're in a place where we could be happy, we will insert negative emotion. We will insert even feelings of guilt because it feels safe. Happiness feels like, oh, can I keep this up? Like I said, am I going to end up disappointed? And so I think it's really important to recognize what those habits are. And then I talk people through, like, there's an upside to guilt. And for a lot of people who are conscientious and successful, and conscientiousness is the top trait of successful people, people who are conscientious also want to do the right thing, which means they set themselves up oftentimes with really high expectations they can't meet that leave them feeling guilty. So, you know, people who feel more guilty are actually good to be in relationship with because they care. They care about their relationships. But we can overuse that strength. So I really talk people through the process of letting it go, recognizing it, and talking back to those thoughts. This is really, I think, a resilience skill, and I apply it specifically to guilt. And then ultimately I'm trying to help you take back your joy. That's the main reason, is that guilt gets in the way of our joy. It's heavy. It feels like a weight. Mm-hmm. And when it's lifted, we just feel lighter and happier.
That's great. Well, Valerie, this has been amazing. And thank you so much for taking the time for our listeners today. And so where's the best place for them to connect with you?
They should go to valerieburton.com, and there's actually a great free gift on the website, which is a free course on how to coach yourself. The details of the book and all the retailers that have the book. And if you get the book, there are quite a few great gifts that go along with it. So if you go to the website first, you'll see how to get all of those. So Let Go of the Guilt is the book, and valerieburton.com is the website.
Very good. Well, again, thank you so much for taking the time today to inspire our listeners, and congratulations on all of your successes.
Thank you so much, Belinda, and thank you for having me.
Of course. And to all of our listeners, thanks so much for tuning in today. And if you don't want to miss a single great episode, make sure that you subscribe and leave us a comment or reviews, because we both appreciate that so much. Until next time, continue to work and live with your happy place.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends. And be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.